Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
And we're back.
The Tom and Tim Show
live from Super Bowl City.
Oh my God, the drones. Yesterday, I never saw so many cops except in a gay bar. Oh my God.
It was amazing. I counted, there were probably 500 protesters. It was a really good turnout for the homeless protest, but there were at least 150 cops.
And more, you know, and I looked at them, you know, they all have baby faces. And, you know, what I know about the cops is, you know, a lot of the older ones who may and hopefully, you know, have some wisdom, they retire early because, let's face it, it is kind of a shitty job. And so there's no mentoring. That's my point. And so you get the young cops and then, you know, on our side, you might have a hothead, you know, you never know, uncontrollable. And then that young cop overreacts. You know, yeah. Do you remember the pepper spray guy in UC Davis?
Oh, yeah.
They had been so out of touch with campus protests. You know, it's been 20, 25 years that they really didn't know how to measure and what to do. So then the guy just, you know, used like it was an insect spray, used the pepper spray up and down the rows of protesting students. And so you need experience and you need depth. I will give a lot of credit to Jennifer Friedbach. She is truly a class act when she saw the overkill, and I use that term judiciously. When she saw the overkill, she did approach who she needed to approach, who was the captain, yep, and the commanding officer, and you know, very level-headedly explained what the law was and how it was sometimes not put into effect. So fortunately, nothing happened.
Yeah. And, you know, it could have. There were a lot of cops and they all looked like they were on hair trigger alert. Fortunately, as you say, you know, Jennifer talked to Captain Lazar, but then he came out and he said, and I watched this, he said, you can't have tents on the sidewalk. And she said, there's tents on the sidewalk all over the city.
Yeah, I know.
And he said, well, we're not going to have them down here. And she said, well, they're like painted. They're like pieces of art and we're just going to do it for the pro. And he said, no. Once you get a few tents, then everyone will move tents in and we can't have that. So he said, and at one point they just set up the tents anyway. And he gets on the loudspeaker and says, we will remove those tents.
Lawrence of Arabia.
So what the protesters did, of course, is just pick them up.
Yeah,
we're feet off the ground.
We're smart. And then confuse them. You know, it's always good to confuse you. The interesting thing, the tension now is so articulated. So now we have a petition going around to repeal the resolution declaring Mario Woods Day.
It's getting
uglier and uglier, and when are people going to fucking learn? You know, let's sit down. You know, I don't find the people that I deal with who want police reform, and some of them are law enforcement people, ready to do this childish thing. Well, you did this, so now we're going to repeal it, and then, you know, give it up, sit down, reform. I'm disgusted, and I'm afraid it's really going to result in some more killings, just because of the misinformation and the tempers, and then also people get very, very bad information, and so then they react to that. But I don't know. This petition, I think, is ill-advised. And, you know, where we're going to start with this, I don't know. But I know the police commission is going to be very crucial to this. And, you know, thank God we have some people on there, you know, who are more statesmen and women like, you know, Petra.
And are at least level-headed about this. Although I hear that
they want
the stun guns again. And the chief is going to come back to the police commission and they're going to have this overview. Oh, by the way, the FBI or the Justice Department is investigating the police department, but they're not investigating the Mario Woods killing.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Or the Alex Nieto killing or the Amilcar Perez Lopez killing. They're investigating, they're doing a voluntary policy review, but they're not going to look into the actual question of whether someone should be held liable for shooting this kid.
No, it's very limp-wristed, I can say that. You know, that's, you know, we don't want to get our hopes up. But, you know, if we put our minds to it in San Francisco, we can have the kind of police reform that benefits everybody, including the police, instead of this, you know, drawing the line in the sand and having a pissing match about this. Unfortunately, the one side is equipped with guns and, you know, anything could happen. I'm really getting tired of the Super Bowl. I love football. You know, I wanted the Pats. You know, if people really hate the Patriots on the West Coast, I found out.
I know.
But somehow it's become distorted and distended. And
it's just and become.
I don't care, corporate, not corporate, but when there's no balance, you know.
In fact, you know, I spent some time in Super Bowl City. I went down and wandered around there, and it's the most dull, boring, stupid thing ever.
It's sterile, yeah.
There's nothing there, and we're spending $5 million of city money to protect this. It's not even, I mean, to call it Disneyland would be a compliment. You know, Disneyland, at least there's things to do.
Yeah.
Plus the Bud Light costs, it was $8 the first day I went, and then they rose the price to $9.
And right after you wrote that, the Bud Light truck broke down. Did you see that?
I saw it. It got stuck on a hillside.
Well, the least they could do is open the doors and spread it among the natives, you know. I'm not snooty about my beer. So,
yeah, and it costs, $8-$10 to buy a beer at the Giants game, but at least you got the Giants game. You spend $9 for a beer at Super Bowl City, and there's nothing to do except stand around.
We'll got to have to see what kind of evaluation happens after this is all over. We still have another week of it. You were telling me what the fellow heard from the port about the protest.
Talk about
alarmist.
A friend of mine called me up and said he was trying to get on the ferry to Sausalito in the middle of the protest yesterday. Lively protest, but very peaceful. And it was going to be peaceful. No one had any intention of, this is the Coalition on Homelessness. This is like very peaceful people, right?
And smart.
And so he gets to the gate to get on the ferry, and everything's blocked off. There's cops everywhere. They're only letting people in with tickets. And he said, what's going on? Why have you blocked everything off? And the guy from the port said, well, we're expecting a violent protest.
Right.
That's how they got everybody all amped up.
And they conditioned them.
Oh, there's going to be a violent protest. So they blocked off this whole area of port property by Sinbad's, that's public property, public land. They blocked it all off. I saw actually Coast Guard officers with their guns at ready, protecting that port property, which is public land, from what? A peaceful group of protesters who wanted to pitch some tents to send a message to the mayor.
Yeah, I keep thinking of Les Miserables, you know, stealing a loaf of bread and then getting put in jail. For 30 years or something. Another interesting thing about this dynamic is people are focusing now on June elections, of all things, and there's a big, you know, it's boring to a lot of people and inside, but the DCCC and the direction that it's been going, you know, they didn't endorse I and F and other things. And who's going to run, and will there be name recognition? I understand for 17, there's 21 people already running for the DCCC. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in terms of, number one, who pays attention to it, number two, who's going to win? You know, they've made it very black and white. It's either going to be very moderates, real estate friendly, or it's not. And
that really is the case. I mean, the Democratic Party in San Francisco is now run by a lobbyist for the Board of Realtors.
Right, a PG&E employee, I imagine.
Yeah, former PG&E employee. Now she's a lobbyist for the Board of Realtors. So that's the question is, are we going to have a change of leadership in the Democratic Party? Are we going to put somebody else in charge? And that's going to be a crucial thing, because then that Democratic Party can endorse candidates for supervisor in the fall.
Yeah, and, you know, will it make a difference or not? One would hope so, if it goes in a way that, say, where my politics lie. Otherwise, do people really pay attention to it? You know, there's a lot of energy given to it, too. So, you know,
a lot of candidates, we're already seeing this, candidates can raise unlimited money in that race and then run for supervisor. Yeah, I'm already seeing that starting to happen.
I know, and I've never cared for that. I wish we could take, I think both sides would agree that maybe that's not the best way to conduct things. You know, you can't say that I'm for this and then at the same time do the, well, they call it double dipping.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, why not have $500 campaign contribution limits for the Democratic Party Central Committee, just like you do for a supervisor?
Yeah, there's definitely reform. I do like the way Berkeley does it all. They have limits. They have a Congress. They choose the people, who are going to run in a more democratic way. But, you know, a girl's going to have to do what a girl has to do. And if there are going to be sides, say for the sake of argument, people who think more like I think, you know, if they win, I also hope they will look at maybe reforming.
Exactly.
You know,
reforming
making
the
it
system.
More neutral or at least, you know, populist. Not that I'm trashing it, because we are going to need it. What else? Oh, the schools. You know, I've talked previously in regard to the LGBT class, mm-hmm. and it looks like we're going to be the clubs are going to be writing a letter to the superintendent, asking for that class to be expanded to, you know, the comprehensive high schools, and I do believe the school board is on board. Also, condoms in the school, in middle school.
I know.
I just love it. You know, I did it in 1991 for the high schools. Oh, my God, and the blowback, no pun intended.
No.
We went to 4 a.m. in the morning, and the head of the PTA looked me in the eye and said, this is just as bad as child molestation. So, I mean, that's how retro it is. And there was
and now we're recognizing.
Finally.
That, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we may not think that. You know, eighth graders are ready to have sex, but
they
are, and so if that's going to happen, how about a little education? Yeah,
it's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
Well, you've just spent another 10 minutes listening to the Tom and Tim show.
That zipped through.
Yep, better than the
Hillary won by a whisker.
Oh. Yeah. All right, and we will talk to you next week.